agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 10th day of February, 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Happy birthday to my brother Rob. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Joe Vaklovic. He's from Standard Grain out of Chicago, Illinois. The folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility near Logansport, Indiana, will join us to take a look at the cash grain market. And as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Along the way, I'll update you on the agricultural news for the afternoon, including a little bit of information about what was in the budget proposal that came from the president earlier in the week as it relates to crop insurance, an $18 billion cut over 10 years, by the way. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, here's the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for this Wednesday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit were lower, down 0.75 cents in the nearby March at $3.60 and a quarter. The May at $3.65 and a quarter, 0.75 cents lower. In July, down 0.75 cents as well at $3.70 and a quarter. December corn at $3.83 and a half lower for the day. Soy complex now, March beans down a penny at $8.62 and a quarter. The May at $8.67, down a quarter. July a half lower at $8.72 and a half. And the November beans at $8.77 and 0.75 cents. A quarter of a cent lower. Soybean meal futures were down 2.10 at 2.61, and the bean oil at 31.01, up 31 cents. Wheat futures in the March contract, that's the soft red at 4.61 and a quarter, up 3.75. July at 4.69 and a half, up 3 cents. The hard red at 4.44 and 3/4, a quarter lower, and July wheat at 4.64 and a half for the hard red. That's the harvest month, a quarter of a cent lower. Outside markets, rather live cattle futures from the CME Group, February contract currently trading 85 cents higher at 132.25. April at 131.77 and a half is up 62 and a half cents. March feeder cattle at 151.17 and a half or $2.17 and a half cents higher, and the lean hogs in the February at $65.32 and a half, up 47 and a half cents at this hour. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don't forget to buy your tickets for All Day Ag Outlook. You can do that online, WILLAG.org. It's March the 8th, and tickets are just $30. Now let's take a look at the outside markets at this time. In the energies, ethanol futures are trading at $1.38 and a tenth. That's 2 1/10 lower. March crude oil at $27.65 is down 27 cents. And the gasoline on the wholesale price, the RBOB at 94 8/10 of a cent, is down 4 9/10. Diesel fuel or heating oil at 98 1/10 of a cent, that's 6 10/10 of a cent higher on the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 15,984 is up 25 points. The U.S. dollar at 96.08, that's down 0.029. And gold futures today are trading at $1,192.25. They're down $6.25. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Partly sunny skies, a high of 21. West-northwest winds at 10 to 13. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 6 degrees. The wind chills between 3 below and 2 above. West-northwest winds at 6 miles an hour this evening. They'll turn to the north after midnight. Tomorrow, that'll bring us mostly sunny skies, a high of just 21 degrees. Again, wind chills will be cold, 3 below to 7 above. North winds at 3 to 7. And Thursday night, increasing clouds, a low of 14 degrees, light and variable winds out of the west by then. They'll turn to the southwest after midnight at 5 to 7 miles an hour. And then Friday, that'll bring us a 30% chance of snow before the noon hour. Cloudy, gradually becoming mostly sunny, and a high of 27 degrees. On Friday, west-southwest winds at 7 to 17 miles an hour. More on the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
Hey, this is Todd. Sorry about this, but because of the way things were recorded on the station this afternoon, and actually it's just my fault, I forgot to start a recorder with Joe Vaclavic, you won't hear all of that interview. In fact, I didn't catch it until we were almost done with the interview, so it's a shortened version of the program today.
If you combine just those two things right there, I think you could very easily put that corn market below $3. And that's worst case scenario. That's the big bear scenario that you've got to be worried about. So being in the risk management business, that's what I've got to be worried about. I'm not worried if the corn market rallies to $4.50 or $5 on a weather issue. That'll sort out itself in terms of how it'll work for the farmers and the operation. Everything will be back in business. But, you know, worst case scenario, you don't want to talk that way. But at the same time, being in the risk management business, that's what you got to think about.
Anything on the livestock side that concerns you at this time?
Yeah, I'm concerned that it's still a commodity that, even though we've seen a significant sell-off, is high-priced historically, I guess, and certainly not at record highs like we were there last year, but it's a commodity that could still certainly see some downward movement if the right things were to happen. You know, if we choke off demand and exports suffer, and you get into a even more bearish commodity and environment and commodities as a whole, you know, crude oil makes new lows, the dollar makes new highs. I'm concerned just from that standpoint that the money flow could be a bigger issue than fundamentals, you know, over a near-term type situation. I'll tell you, the hog market has acted really well here. I think that there's certainly some opportunities there for anybody in the hog business to set some floors on this stuff. We've had a really nice, very steady move higher. And of course, going back to the risk management side of things, you're always worried about a market that kind of takes the stairs up, as they might say, the hog market is just done, because you know the second part of that phrase, they take the stairs up and the elevator down, and that's what we're afraid of.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it. And the other item is, I'm looking forward to having you. You won't be on stage, but you're always there. Thank you so much for the support at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, on the 8th day of March. So folks who want to come and see you and meet you, they hear you from time to time on Commodity Week and here on the Closing Market Report as well. And I do appreciate all the volunteer work you do for us. Thanks so much.
Yep, I appreciate it. I love going to those meetings, and we'll see you there in a few weeks.
In today's agricultural news, the budget proposal released by the White House yesterday includes a cut to crop insurance. The budget request to Congress calls for a 10-year, $18 billion cut to the federal crop insurance program. The request comes after Congress rejected a $3 billion cut to the crop insurance program last year. We'll have more on the crop insurance coming up in just a bit. Up next, USDA expects another drop in net farm income for 2016. The USDA Economic Research Service has predicted a 2.5% decline in net cash farm income, forecasted at $54.8 billion this year. That figure is predicted to be more than 50% off the record high income level of $123.3 billion in 2013. Safety net programs are expected to deliver $13.9 billion in payments, up 31%, with most of the payments from the Ag-Risk Coverage and Price Loss Coverage programs, or ARC and PLC. Farm expenses are expected to fall just 1% to $376.5 billion this year, representing the first consecutive annual decline since 1986. The U.S. farm debt-to-equity ratio will rise for a fourth straight year, indicating a higher level of financial stress is building, according to USDA. However, USDA noted the debt-to-equity ratio remains low compared to historical levels. Well, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says the United States should open agricultural offices in Cuba and hopes to find funding to do so through the 2017 Agricultural Appropriations Bill. In announcing the president's proposed agriculture budget Tuesday, Vilsack said he hopes the request will alert Congress that there is an expanded trade opportunity in Cuba. Few other details are available other than Vilsack wants to open the office there. As part of the budget request materials released yesterday, USDA said the agency needs an in-country presence in Cuba to cultivate key relationships, gain firsthand knowledge of the country's agricultural challenges and opportunities, and develop programs for the mutual benefit of both countries. And finally today, Miss America apparently is promoting childhood nutrition while staying tied to her agricultural roots in Georgia. Michael Clements from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting has more.
Betty Cantrell, Miss America 2016, is working with the American Farm Bureau Federation to promote healthy lifestyles through her Healthy Children, Strong America platform. Cantrell says that understanding where food comes from is the first step in healthy living.
Farm Bureau was the perfect partnership for us to make as far as getting into the schools and really teaching kids about where their food comes from and hopefully getting them to eat a little bit healthier.
Cantrell grew up on a Georgia farm. She says her platform will promote agriculture while connecting modern farmers with classrooms across America.
Nobody ever sees farmers. They never see all the work that goes in. They just picture old McDonald. But really, there's so much work, and the modern farmer is doing so many things with technology to keep their plants growing. And I think that the modern farmer and his family are not appreciated for everything that they do.
She says her program aims to teach children where their food comes from and to build an appreciation for healthy foods that are grown on the farm.
I think if kids learn where their food is coming from and how they can grow their own food and how it's made, that they'll appreciate it more and hopefully lean more towards eating that rather than the unhealthy foods that are available.
Miss America will be attending Farm Bureau's Young Farmer and Rancher Conference February 15th and 16th, promoting her Healthy Children, Strong America platform. Michael Clements, Washington.
And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can pick up your tickets to the All-Day Agricultural Outlook. Just do that online. It's quick, simple, and easy. The All-Day is March the 8th. That's the second Tuesday of the month. We open the doors at 8 a.m. Central Time, 9 o'clock if you're in the Eastern Time Zone. And for $30, you'll get 12, a dozen, count them, of our regular on-air analysts, plus another four folks, including Agribles Eric Snodgrass, to go through the weather, and then we'll take a look at how to cut cost and maybe how not to cut cost as well with Emerson Nafziger and Gary Schnitke and Brian Young. Should be a great day at the Beef House. If you've not been to this event, get your tickets right now, just $30, and it all includes the Beef House lunch. Oh, and those rolls and coffee in the morning, too. Or you can just call 800-898-1065 right now, 800-898-1065. Now, up next, the Obama administration rolled out a $4.1 trillion budget deal yesterday, and that included an $18 billion cut to the crop insurance program. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill were quick to voice their disapproval of the plan. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Mike Conaway said it would be a severe blow to farmers and ranchers. And Pat Roberts, who chairs the Senate Ag Committee, said the new budget was an attack on the American producer's ability to manage risk. National Crop Insurance Services President Tom Zacharias said the crop insurance industry has already done its part to save money.
The industry has participated in deficit reduction, and it's important for the farmers to have the support they need for discount of the premium so that you have high participation and avoid the potential for ad hoc disaster that could possibly occur in a year like 2012 if you don't have widespread participation and coverage levels where they need to be. So it takes a certain amount of funding to have the right infrastructure in place.
Zacharias said producers already pay a collective $4 billion every year for crop insurance, and that the proposal would make it more expensive for producers when all advice points to increasing coverage.
If you look at the work that's done over at University of Illinois, they're recommending that farmers maintain their coverage levels to keep the protection up in case you do have a bad price or revenue outcome year.
With farm income projections and commodity prices remaining low, Zacharias said crop insurance will be important to producers this year.
This is a time when farmers would rely on crop insurance as much now as any other time. So it's important to keep this safety net in effect and viable.
Obama's budget is by no means set in stone, but it does begin the appropriations process. Zacharias says he hopes lawmakers will reject the proposal in a similar fashion to last fall's $3 billion proposed cut. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined now by Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. So glad to have you on this afternoon, Drew. I want you to go through some things for me. After yesterday's United States Department of Agriculture's update of the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, or WASDE report, it's clear that, according to USDA, South America must have a good crop, sometimes a monster crop, partially because of the acreage, and I think maybe in part because of some of the weather. What does the condition of that crop look like today? And I think, am I right that much, and it's a big area, but much of that area would be in the August time frame at this point, probably late July, early August would be my guess.
Yeah, I think that is true. There was a lot of planting late and a lot of replanting. So there's probably the majority of the crop is right in that time frame that you're thinking. But there is some crop that would be a bit immature at this point and will need a few weeks of good weather still yet ahead. Most of that replanting occurred in Mato Grosso and Goyas, both those areas do have a little bit of a problem with dryness after we get to April. So it's going to be important that they get every drop of rain in March that they're supposed to see, and then some maybe when we get into April or even early May. So some of that crop will need some more moisture, but we're talking about 8% of the crop. I think the rest of it's probably closer to them being on schedule, and the conditions are very good. We had so much news information coming at us earlier in the year saying that it was too dry to plant, or there was extremely dry conditions and the crop looked terrible. And then we heard about flooding in the south, and then everything flip-flopped around a little later down the road. But when you take a look at it from, 30,000 feet, it really does not look like it's a bad crop at all. And I think the USDA is absolutely right about it being a big crop, and I think that's one of the reasons why our prices have gone nowhere.
And then the other thing is there is crop coming off harvest at this point, and the safrinha or the second crop corn would be being put into place. That normally would happen in the month of February. How's that crop set up for its growing season?
Well, there is a smaller percentage of the safrinha crop that's going to go into the ground because there was so much late planted crop. So that is going to end up shrinking down the overall planted acreage relative to what we were looking at last November and December. But the condition of the crop right now is very good. Those crops are going into the ground, have good moisture to feed upon. Germination emergence didn't occur very quickly. And the outlook for the next 10 days to 2 weeks continues to perpetuate a good balance between rain and sunshine. So I think it's going to certainly take off very well. And we'll see what happens as we get down the road. We'll also be interested in seeing just how much area does get planted and how far off from what we originally thought we would see, when we get the numbers back.
And finally, a very quick word on the Arctic blast we're suffering in the Midwest now.
Yeah, that's going to be replaced by a reinforcement over the weekend. I don't think it's going to be anything too terribly more intense than what we're already dealing with, but it will be one more round of it. So we'll have winter for at least another week, and then we'll probably start working our way back towards a typical El Nino environment. And by 10 days from now, we'll be back into a wetter bias for the lower Midwest, the Delta, and southeastern states, while the north will be dry and a return to warmer bias conditions for many areas.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated. I'm Todd Gleason.